Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Pats.
The Patriots.
Play.
Are going to win in Pittsburgh.
On one station.
Magic goes down. Touchdown, Patriots. Patriots.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
I'm going to give you back to our owner, Mr. Irsay, right here, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Here's Mr. Irsay.
Hey, Quentin. What's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, you fired up?
And now, the world tag team champion.
Cock back the hammer. Watch me lay him down. Saw face the villains. We don't play around.
Brady takes the snap. And he throws it left for a wide open wide who dives into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Brady, who's under center. He screens it left. The catch made by Patterson. Cuts into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Amazing. Boy, the offensive rebound. Come to love and know is back, folks.
All they keep telling me is how damn good you are.
To the chase. You are a bucket of waste. I've been put up to the pace. Bambi yellow when I waste.
Brady with a play fake to Michelle. Stands in the pocket. Bouncing left. Sliding back left. Direct in traffic. A lot of time to launch a long hierarchy pass to the end zone. Oh!
Me coming like Indominus Sue. Bottom line, I'm a problem for dudes. It's not an option to lose.
Shotgun snap, Brady. Give to Michelle. Runs to the left side. First pass to the 25. Outside of the 20. 13-10. Left sideline 5. Hurtling into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
I maintain my fly side. Cultivate my climbing one. You could call for help, but you'll be dead by 9-1.
Sexy.
I'll be riding a rebel like a broken elevator. Wrong with so many levels.
Hey, Quentin, what's up?
Touchdown, Patriots.
Thank y'all. The rivalry is back on.
Whatever you want, whatever you need, come on and get it. I'm gonna give it to you, and I'm gonna give you something, something.
While you finicky, sick with the fiction flow, you need a clinicky. A lie is a lie, lie upon a lie. Bonds and
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Tetra and Rich. And yesterday, if you were listening to the game on the radio, which you should, even when Camp Lowe are on the track, you should listen to it on the radio, and then you should lock it in, and then listen to us, and then immediately turn the radio off. But, Rich, the last night, if you were listening to it on the radio, Scott Zolak, obviously very excited, very good at his job. However,
Well, when you say he was excited, Fred, I mean, there were certain times where, I mean, we've talked about Zogasms before, but there were certain plays where the Zogasms were just sounds.
Three wides to the left, one to the right. White wheels out of the backfield, makes the catch right flat. Oh. Makes a man miss to the 40, near sideline 45, and James White is shoved out of bounds, chased by Najee Good.
All right, well, that's a disturbing one.
All you need to know is Najee Good.
Yeah, well, yes.
The Patriots beating a powerhouse team. And by the way, all I wanted to see was Magnus von Magnussen, the Romanian daredevil.
Magnus for Magnussen, the strongest man in the world.
That's the strongest man.
I know
who it is.
Magnus Hunt Margus Hunt.
Margus. Yes. Magnus von Magnussen.
Yes.
We're saying the same thing. I've been fascinated.
The Megacopolis of the NFL.
Yeah, he's Magnus von Magnussen.
I got it. All
and then he got hurt immediately, and I'm like, why am I watching this game now? I can't. There's Andrew Luck and then some guys.
Yeah, right. It is Andrew Luck and the guys who aren't T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, and third string offensive lineman. So congratulations, Patriots.
But the guy who was on the field was a gentleman by the name of Josh Gordon. Now, Josh Gordon, Tom Brady to Josh Gordon was a thing last night. Yeah. I mean, they were 4 for 4, and I think they got 67 yards out of it, including really the most exciting play of the entire game, and that would be Josh Gordon's touchdown catch, his first as a Patriot, and Tom Brady's 500th touchdown pass. So let's take a listen. This is as it was called by Scott Zolak.
A first and 10 from the Colt 34. Brady with a play fake to Michelle. Stands in the pocket. Bouncing left. Sliding back left. Directing traffic. A lot of time to launch a long high arcing pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side of the end zone. Touchdown Patriots.
So sexy. Flash Gordon.
Number 500 in the regular season career of Tom Brady.
What a way to get the 500, to have this kid catch it. Just somebody different again. That's the thing you're going to have with this guy. The ability, when things break down, to just give a playmaker a chance to go up and elevate and get it. That strength, it's power. But great job by Gordon, recognizing that Brady's redirecting him. He goes all the way down inside and peels back.
Sexy.
Okay, so that's two sexies.
It's just like, it's too sexy. I know that there was so, I can't remember what it was on. It's too sexy. It's too sexy. Yeah, like he's sitting there and he's like got to shield his eyes because all the sex appeal and sexiness of the play, it's too much for him.
This was double weird because, first of all, you and I agree, calling something sexy that doesn't actually involve like intercourse is or potential is strange.
Or like, something that it arousing. Inspires yes. you to want to have intercourse.
But it's like, you know, when they show like a car and say, that car is sexy. I'm like, well, that's just weird.
It is weird, but not near as weird as it is to call a football play sexy.
So, and Zolak doesn't do that. And I think the first time, and I was asking Mike in the other room, because he listens to a lot of these clips in the morning as well. I said, Zolak just started using that. As a matter of fact, I think the first time I heard him say that was last week. And I was like, which play was that? And shockingly, it was about this player.
Gordon on the outside of Hogan. Brady takes the snap. Fires to the right. Pass caught by kick. Gordon. Ducks under a defender, and he's tackled at the 3. It's a first and goal to go with McDonald among the tacklers for Miami.
That gets me excited. Oh, my God. He doesn't catch it and go down. What's he do? He spins, and he looks for someone to run over. Oh, that's sexy.
Okay, so it's only about Josh Gordon that he's using the term sexy. Yeah, right. And he's like, really strange.
In leading up to this sexy, he's very sexual in what he's talking about.
Oh, that gets me excited.
Yeah, that gets me excited. That's sexy.
Right. Whew.
Sexy.
I do can you declare. Oh, Mr. Scarlet, give me the Costco little iced tea.
Yeah, all of a sudden Blanche from Golden Girls is in there and being very randy, or perhaps Mona from Who's the Boss. But can you imagine if Joe Buck was like, wow, that was a really sexy play? Like the internet would explode.
Oh, sure. It's just, it's strange. It's strange that he's using that term. I would understand it if he threw it out there. But the fact that the only times I've ever heard him use it are both about the same guy is a little strange to me. And maybe I'm the only one who thinks that. And you know what? Maybe this is Zolak's new cat. Maybe it's the new unicorn show ponies.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
To launch a long hierarchy pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side of the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
So sexy. Flash Gordon.
Number 500 in the regular season career of Tom Brady.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts. And I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan. New York and Japan.
Oh, the only thing that hurts worse than tearing my fart box is bruising my stink trumpet.
That gets me excited. Oh, my God.
I'm a model. You know what I mean.
What a screw job.
My little turn on the catwalk. Sexy on the catwalk.
Find my nuts.
On the catwalk. Yeah, I shake my little tush on the catwalk.
Get some noise cranking up. Oh, yeah, give me some of that.
Where's
I'm so excited. Damn, I feel like a woman.
That was very good.
Well, I'll tell you, I bet you there's part of Zolak that was absolutely thrilled to be put into that song. Because you know in Maryland, there was like some locker room hijinks.
Maryland was the wild, wild west. I think that's, yeah.
As opposed to now, where it's the wild, wild west and that people die.
The only thing that's better than sexy obsessed Scott Zolak is just angry at the world Scott Zolak. Like last night, remember the play where the Colts got the interception and they made the faces at the camera?
Right. Shotgun snap in an empty set. A throw down the middle off the hands of Hogan. Picked off on the deflection. And Farley has it, running it past the 30 for Indianapolis, where he is tackled.
Cheap pick. Where's he going?
So the
scoreboard
Colts
tool bag
come away with the interception, trailing 24-10 here in the third on the safety insurance 98.5 Sports Up Patriots.
Robbery's
Radio
on.
Radio Network.
Yeah.
All right. I got two points. A, that was a big interception. And B, Chung did a karate kick.
Yeah, but they were up like 21-3 or something.
3, and it did last in half that amount of time.
But,
and
however,
it was phenomenal.
That's okay.
It was the karate kid, and it was well coordinated.
Fine,
I
you like
fantastic.
The dance more than the other dance. That was a big interception.
That was a big interception that kept their team in the game, kept them from being blown
it
out.
Was
they
far,
were down two touchdowns.
Far better than Chung's interception. Far more.
Yeah, Luck threw a ball
meaning
right
far,
to Chung.
Far more meaningful than Chung's interception at the time.
Fine.
But isn't there a standard of when you should celebrate?
Yeah, you like, don't like celebrate you don't and pose for photos when you're down two touchdowns.
Sure you do.
No, you don't.
Why not? You know what? You're lame.
So are you for thinking that that's worth something.
No, you're lame and a nerd.
Okay. You're lame
you're
and
like,
a really
like
cool guy.
You're like Lithgow in Footloose.
I see.
And I'm effing Kevin effing Bacon.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what we're going to do?
That's just
let's
who I
dance.
Compare you to.
Such a homer.
Kevin effing Bacon in 84.
Homer. Oh, the Dis Dance is bad, but Dis Dance is good. Oh, because it's Chung. Oh, the Patriots.
It has nothing to do with
it. Oh, Flying Elvis. Oh, hot dog sliced down the middle.
If the roles were reversed, I'd feel the same way.
Get on the tractors. Handle it like real men.
The one with the boom
mic. I'll play chicken against you.
Shot.
I dare you. You get one punch.
That's right.
I get one punch. Your ass hits the ground.
That's what people know. You are the coolest individual on the planet. Of course you're Kevin Bacon in 84.
I'm not cool.
Of course you are.
I'm not cool now.
So does that make me Chris Penn, confused by the world?
That sounds about
right. No, I'll take you on the bleachers. We'll do a little thing with our, our legs.
Let's hear it for the boys.
So now you're making the statement that I'm not cool?
No, you're trumpeting yourself as cool.
There's nothing cooler than that. Wait,
you're saying I'm not cool because you're making sure everyone knows that you're cool.
I'm the coolest guy. I'm not the coolest guy in radio.
Well, I take it back. Of course you're the
I'm the coolest.
Guy. That's right. Of course
he's the Fonzarelli.
That's right.
Maybe a part of the, probably a little bit of him. I'm a little big ragu. I'm a little bit Fonzie. Over here, Wallach, you're not cool. Yeah, right, dude. Ask around. Homer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. Now, listen, this song's lame and all.
You driving the red pickup around?
No, I don't drive a pickup.
Okay.
I drive a Jaguar.
That's true. I forgot the spaceship is in full effect.
Yeah. it zooms.
Which really is great here during the winter.
It's four-wheel drive, stupid.
Oh, you
it's
got
better than that minivan you drive.
Jaguar. Well, that must have cost you a lot of money.
You know how much
not,
it cost me?
Not money.
Do you want to guess how much it cost me?
$80 million.
No, it cost me $90,000.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's money I don't possess. So
Fred, teach me
you.
How to dance, could you?
You're the coolest.
I can't teach either of you to dance because you're both hopeless.
Now, this is a jam right here. Yeah.
All the kids in Little League that I coach are like, dude, you're the coolest. And I'm like, yeah. No kidding. I'm like, no kidding.
Bomb pops for everyone, kids.
When I was a kid, I used to put this song on and dance around pretending it was about me.
Did you really?
Yeah, wow.
Would you put the shoulder pads on for your football uniform and dance like they do in the video?
No, I didn't. I don't remember the video, but I used to pretend that was me. And then Against All Odds by Phil Collins, I used to walk around in the park and just pretend that like I was morose and
oh, did you do that to the air tonight?
No, just against all odds.
I used to ride my bike and turn on the air tonight and think I was a badass. By Phil Collins.
So you thought you were the opening scene of Miami Vice where they're riding the streets.
Well, in college, a girl broke up with me that I'd been dating for 2 years, and I walked in the rain to 7-Eleven to buy smokes, and I just thought of like Bruce Springsteen's like some sad song that I didn't even know the words to. Really,
just streets of Philadelphia, you're walking around.
Yeah, but you know how I dealt with heartbreak? Bang, 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 any chick that came my way.
How old were you?
I don't know, 11?
Walking in the rain.
Yeah, this is sort of like me.
Not the Jimerse version.
No, the girls, and I will break in a second, but like girls would be like, what's up with that dude? He's so mysterious. Like he's got sunglasses on.
With a candy cigarette hanging out your mouth.
No, that was in college where I started rocking sunglasses at night. Okay. Well, I just think I proved my point. Ken Griffey Rules, at Ken Griffey Rules on Twitter, if you want to teach him a thing or two about being out of sight.
Here's a question from a listener. Is Fred going to the warehouse after the show to dance away his frustrations?
I don't have to go to a warehouse. I'll go to the club. I'll go to the club. They open early for me.
Go by himself.
This is where we need to be on TV again.
Do I have to go by? If I'll go by myself if I want to. I just rip down 3 rolls and just touch my hair. All right. Okay.
When did chicken burgers become cool? Oh, yeah, right now.
Yeah, when I ate one. All right. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
To throw down the middle off the hands of Hogan, picked off on the deflection, and Farley has it running it past the 30 for Indianapolis, where he is tackled.
Cheap pick. Where's he going?
So the
scoreboard tool bag
come away with the interception, trailing 24-10 here in the third on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Up Patriots.
Rivalries on
Radio Network.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Chung's little thing was perfectly acceptable.
It's kind of rad.
Even though it was...
I think to the victor or the person with the lead comes the celebrations.
Yeah,
you can be behind, but if you score...
Is that how you felt in the Capitol games?
If you pose when you're up 21-3, I kind of get that. If Chung does the karate kick and they're down 24-10, he's wrong.
Did you like when what's-his-face from the Capitol skated by the bench and had to get beaten up by Brad Marchand?
If I was the Bruins, no.
7 goals?
If I was the Bruins, no, I wouldn't have liked that. No.
Exactly.
But so, if I was a Capitals fan, I'd be like, yeah, F those guys.
Well, I mean, so you're saying you're being a homer. No, well, I'm saying if Eller's waving at the bench when they're behind, that's wrong, and he deserves to get
beat. But if it's the 7th goal, he should go
if
by
I'm
the
on
bench.
The losing team and someone's celebrating in front of me, hell yeah, I'm pissed. But I'm not on the losing team. I think you have every right. You don't look like a jackass if you celebrate if your team is winning.
But if
you're getting killed.
But that interception, they ended up not getting killed by a very bad team.
If they turned it all over, I think, after 4
and don't spend 30 seconds at it, fine. But that whole pose for a photo thing when you're down 24-10 and have the ball in your own territory, that's ridiculous.
You know what you're like? I'm going to start calling you Aaron Judge.
Fine.
Because you're a homer.
I see.
Bob Sosi is brought to you by New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Surgery. I wrote that down like a month ago.
You're super cool.
All right, enough of that. When you know your... I think we took that to the max. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight.
That's a cool thing to say.
You know, I'm reading something that they pay money for.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. Bob Sosi, what did you make of all the comments that Scott Zolak makes when Gordon... makes a play where he starts calling it sexy.
Well, you know, I actually did not hear the sexy comment initially because I was trying to get in the 500th career touchdown pass. And so after calling touchdown Patriots, I didn't hear exactly what Zoe said before interrupting his train of thought as it was rolling down the tracks with the note that it was Brady's 500th touchdown pass. I want to hear the highlight afterwards. I don't know what to think. It certainly is a unique way to characterize it, but you know, I mean, Josh Gordon is a football player. The athleticism, the talent that's there physically, you know, certainly there is a lot to like about it, and I'm sure it has a certain sex appeal for a quarterback in particular.
This is the first time he's used that term, though. Not the first. I mean, this is the first player that you've heard him use this term about, correct? Because he used it last week with Josh Gordon as well.
He may have said it in the past about a play, you know, like that's sexy. I don't recall whether he's described a particular player.
Does he do a thing with his hands? Like he's like
doing a figure?
Yeah, like doing a figure with his hands?
Like making a snowman, you know?
Yeah. Does he go, that's sexy? Woo, woo.
Hey, you know, guys, especially when it comes to that kind of talk, you know, what happens in the booth, what's said in the booth, not on the air, stays in the booth.
Stays in the booth.
Does he pull his sunglasses down to the bridge of his nose?
And look out of the field, ooh la la, and then he bites his fist.
He's like Squiggy.
Yes, that's right, like Squiggy.
Oh, my God. I mean, Chainsaw is really here for this segment. You guys are,
Yes, that's right. Chainsaw to take
goodness.
A break. So, yesterday's game was one that I was just very prepared to feel great about. I mean, the first half was absolute domination, even though that, you know, there everyone was injured on the Colts outside of Andrew Luck.
They couldn't even dress. They only could dress 44 players. I mean, I don't recall that happening.
And then the second half happens, and the defense just completely just turns into crap. I mean, I think 290-something yards just in the second half alone that they gave up. So as excited as you can be about the offense, because there's a lot of things to like, the defense, they got to be worried about Kansas City, correct?
Oh, sure enough, absolutely. You know, especially with Mahomes' ability to make plays out of the pocket as he did against Denver. I mean, this is a quarterback who's hasn't thrown an interception this year, and you know, he's got an offense that has a tight end who's among the best in the league. I won't go so far as Booger McFarland and say he is the best in the league, but when you look at Eric Ebron putting up over 100 yards and then a guy like Swoop coming down with initially two touchdown catches before the second was overturned on replay, that's cause for concern moving forward. And again, the Patriots would be in that dilemma, as they often are with mobile quarterbacks. How do you try to approach him? Do you try to keep him in the pocket? Because Mahomes has shown in his very brief time at QB that he can hurt you either way. And then there's the speed and the play calling for Andy Reid with guys like Hill and Hunt. And we know what they did last year in the season opener, and we know what the Eagles did with a similar kind of attack in Super Bowl 52. So, yeah, there are lingering concerns going forward. You're right about the Colts. I mean, you look at the turnaround for them playing 70 minutes, an overtime game on Sunday, and then with 44 active players, including several guys they had to promote from the practice squad.
And then all the injuries, all the players they lost early in the game.
Absolutely. And that's not to take anything away from, you know, 38 points for the Pats. And
well, I would.
Came out and started. But nonetheless, it certainly is something that you have to consider and I think kind of have in perspective looking ahead to the game week from Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, that's in the condition that they were in, that's the worst team that they've played this year.
With the best quarterback.
Yeah, but if he's got no one to throw to and no one to hand the ball off to, I mean, that's a little difficult. I mean, yeah.
The other thing about Andrew Luck, guys, I mean, as good as the numbers were coming in, you know, one of the things that you picked up watching him in warm-ups even is that he wasn't throwing the ball with the kind of velocity that you used to see, which you certainly expect as, you know, for a guy that's undergone shoulder surgery and you know, had so many problems with that right shoulder since the 2015 season. And even during the game, there were times when he had a lot of zip on his ball and threw him extremely well. Then there were other times where, you know, his receivers really made some nice plays and balls that were floating out there. And, you know, he was a guy that was not the same player we saw.
Yeah.
In terms of the physical skills,
yes,
a couple of years ago.
And I would counter that he's not the best quarterback in his condition that they played. I would say Bortles this year is the best quarterback that they've played. And if you listen to Marone, he said he's the best quarterback ever. Did you hear him say that?
No, I've not heard that.
Yeah, Marone said he's the best. But in all seriousness, I think Bortles is the best quarterback that they've played.
I think this year. We can agree to disagree, but I think the way that he was throwing the ball yesterday was. I mean, he looked great near the end of that game. If he had halfway competent receivers, it's kind of scary what he might have been able to pull off.
How many drops? How many drops by those?
There
receivers?
Was a lot of drops, but I mean, Bortles played better than Luck played. I mean,
I think
did.
I give a lot of credit to Jacksonville's offense in that game. Going back to week two, and the way Nathaniel Hackett called it, and the way Bortles has played against the Patriots now in his two starts, and Luck, you hope comes back to the physical player he was before, because he was such an outstanding talent coming out of the draft as the number one pick back in 2012. And he may get there. Again, there were times yesterday we saw glimpses of that. And the Patriots are going to face Mahomes. We'll see what he does against Jacksonville's defense this coming Sunday. I think the nice thing about the Pats is that they've got some extra time to prepare for the matchup with Kansas City. And the fact that, we saw Gronkowski out there last night, and despite the ankle injury, as the game went on, he seemed to be moving better. And we saw the impact that Edelman had. Both with the emotion and the energy he brought before the game, and the way Brady came out very comfortable and very, very focused. And I think you could even see it on his face for Tom. He was back in his comfort zone with Edelman out there, and knowing that, he had his guy to get the drive started, and the way he utilized all the weapons, the combination now of White primarily catching and Sony Michel running. There are a lot of things to be excited about with this Patriots team going forward.
All right. Well, it's a bit of a gauntlet coming up if you take away the Bills game. So it should be interesting how they come out of that. And also pretty psyched for the next 3 out of 4 games being prime time. So that's always good.
All kinds of awesome.
Especially you got to put that Bills game on.
Yeah, that Monday night game in Buffalo is going to be a doozy.
That's really good.
That's right. You can go to bed early on that one.
Oh, yeah.
That's the good news about
Hell,
that.
Hell, Bob can go to bed early.
Well, you never know.
We'll see. I mean, coming off Chicago on the road, as you said, you've got Green Bay coming up. And then the Bills, hey, it's a divisional game. I like Sean McDermott, and I think his team plays with intensity. It all depends on that game, looking way down the road and how the Bills' offense plays. But I would expect a good effort from their defense. And a physical game. So the Patriots definitely have their work cut out for them these next 4 to 5 weeks.
All right. Well, Bob, there's only one way I can describe this interview we just did, and that is sexy. So,
sexy.
So we appreciate you coming on, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Good to be with you.
All right, see you.
Appreciate it. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Catholic League said that. I don't know what that is. The Stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
So Chris Sale is getting ready for tonight. We'll find out just how long he'll be able to last, whether that arm will be back and firing bullets, as he was saying he might have kept some in the chamber, or will he be noodle-armed and get rocked. But we do know one thing is that Chris Sale doesn't suffer fools. Well, not really fools. He doesn't suffer Johnny Miller. This was an interesting exchange during yesterday's press availability with Chris Sale and, of course, WBZ's Johnny Miller.
Chris, can you talk about your success against the Yankees this year?
No.
And that was it. And then he sat there awkwardly.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
It was, can you talk about your success against the Yankees this year? And Chris Sale went, nope.
This is a really likable team. Like, Mookie Betts seems like a good guy. Bogarts is pretty humble. But I mean,
Benintendi seems like a, you know, okay. He's always got a smile on his face.
I don't even know if I've heard him talk.
Right? He's just, you know, but he seems affable just by his face.
What's funny is Joe Kelly was like a fan favorite in St. Louis.
He's the best. Like, you talk to him, he's like a great guy.
Oh yeah,
we had him on, right?
Yeah. And he's great.
But yeah, he was like, he would do stuff with like the TV station.
The dude totally gets it, and you wished he was better because
no, but for some reason. Like, he's not allowed to do it here.
Who's going to talk to him?
No, but he would, it sounds lame when I say it, but it's like a long baseball season, and he would put on, like, masks and stuff and, like, go around and, like, interview people. Like, he did, like, bits that were, for a baseball player, fairly humorous.
He's self-deprecating. He's got a good sense of humor.
Yes.
And when we've had him on, he was great. But it's one of those situations where, you know, Chris Sale has had success against the Yankees this year. So this isn't like a question where somebody's trying to trap him into talking about how bad he's been. You know, it's not like asking David Price about your postseason. You know, what do you have to say about your lack of any kind of success over all the seasons that you've played baseball? No, this was as simple as...
Chris, can you talk about your success against Yankee this year?
No.
It's like the Red Sox just sucked the life out of you. Like, Edgar Renteria comes here, he's all happy. They just like...
I don't know. Other than David Price, who on this team like has
Sale?
Been... other than that. That's new. But I found that kind of funny because Joe Kelly's not an ass.
No, he's not an ass, but they've sucked the life out of him.
Okay,
I'm not saying that you have to necessarily be an ass. I'm just saying they seem to suck the souls out of these guys.
Maybe it's the lack of availability. Maybe it's that no one's talking on this team. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's because no one has a personality. We know Joe Kelly does. But, I mean, honestly... Who on this team can you think of like something go, oh, wow, that guy's got the best personality? We just don't know.
Yeah, you would seem Betts. Seems like, you
but,
know.
But when does he, like, talk
I
publicly?
I don't know, dude.
He talks. I think
here's a great question. Dan just said, how many interviews have you seen JD Martinez do?
He's done a lot in the last couple of weeks. But
what?
He has.
Dude's like a megastar. He's going to be an MVP, possibly.
He's done a lot. Are you talking like one-on-ones with SportsCenter? No, but I've heard him speak plenty in the last month.
Like, did you know, other than the post game, I'm talking like outside of that.
Oh no, not outside.
See, Johnny's got to go through all the Johnny Wallgame's got to go through all the post game stuff to get his precious clips.
And by the way, I found that Chris Sale thing to be funny just because it was a little chaotic, and you don't expect anyone to say that, especially to Johnny Miller, who's like probably the most respected guy in that locker room.
But they don't like Johnny Miller because
he's
Johnny
a ball
Miller
buster.
At times can bust balls.
And that's why I think fans should like Johnny Miller, is that he's not afraid to ask tough questions.
I don't think there's any fans that don't like Johnny Miller. I
just
like,
Chris, can you talk about your success against the Yankees this year?
No.
I mean, that's pretty funny. I mean, he may be being an a-hole, but that's pretty funny.
All right, well, you know, agree to disagree, I guess.
If he ends up getting rocked tonight, everyone's going to point at that and say, see, it's karma. You're mean to Johnny.
See, I'm not one of these people that acts like that. I'm someone who's universally loved.
And you love everybody? Because I'm about to give you a story about the Cubs and a Cubs fan.
All right.
A big celebrity Cubs fan.
You should have let him
name
fall
two
into
Cubs.
The trap. You should have let him fall right into it.
Well, everyone knows that Eddie Vedder is a huge Cubs fan. I mean, I'm not sure where we would know that from. Don't let anyone say that's hands down the best thing about the Cubs losing, is you did not have to suffer through this.
There's a lot of things that are good about the Cubs losing.
But the celebrity fandom might be the worst.
And if there was any point in our career that at any point, 20, 40 years down the road, that we had to work in Chicago, it would just be this mining of audio.
We're the team White Sox. I'm all about the White Sox.
With like the four other people.
Well, I will say that Eddie Vedder, as good of a front man as he is, and as much as he likes to send a shout out to the Hawaiian Little League baseball team when he plays here in Fenway, and pander just a little bit to the Red Sox fans.
Just a little.
There is a video of him in mourning outside of Wrigley Field after their loss, which bounced them from the playoffs, and it's around 2 in the morning, and guess what he's doing? Just playing a little street ball. Just playing a little street ball by himself against the wall outside
Come on.
Of Wrigley Park. Oh, yeah, he sure is. And apparently he hits the ball to hit someone's car. And he goes, I'm going to have to apologize.
Then he runs the other way.
When he's playing, what is he like? Just he's hitting the ball against
the
wall?
Yeah, he's just knocking the ball around the empty streets. You know, he's like you walking around listening to Against All Odds.
Yeah, that was when I was nine. So, yeah, Eddie Vedder, good. Go back to your mediocre band.
They're a pretty good band.
If you had to rank the bands of all time, where would you put Pearl Jam?
Well, I mean, let's just go. Let's just go bands of the Seattle grunge era. I mean, they're not Alice in Chains, who's at the top of the
list. Alice in Chains is the best.
They're not Soundgarden, who might be right underneath.
Soundgarden's the second.
And then they're not even Temple of the Dog, which had members of Pearl Jam.
And I don't like Nirvana personally.
But I put Nirvana.
But Nirvana changed everything.
Sure, they changed everything. And Nirvana, by the way, go back and listen to In Utero. In Utero's a great album. So is Nevermind. But it's not the other two.
I hated, though, that at that time that Nirvana were being hailed as like creating a sound where you're like,
hey, Melvin's been around for a while.
Yeah, that's been around forever. Luke, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I just want to come to Sarge's defense here, man. It's getting pretty rough on him, and I feel bad. I mean, I was in the theater district this morning at a light, and I look over, and there's Sarge. He's wearing a sandwich board and handing out leaflets. And so he hands me one, and I'm like, what is this? And apparently he thinks the moon's made out of cheese. So, you know, I just feel bad. I mean, the guy's clearly going off the deep end.
All right, you're the guy who calls it a conspiracy.
Conspiracy theory Sarge.
Sarge-spiracy.
Yeah, because he was the guy who called in and said that he stood at the tables at Kowloon and was talking about...
That's right.
The moon landing.
Forgot about that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy conspiracy theory Sarge.
I just want to hear if this is a Sarge one. Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, I had a question on... the way the rule is for roughing the passer and seeing Brady getting hit with the fingernail of a defender.
Yeah.
And getting thrown.
Yeah. Where he went and his arm grazed the face mask, if even, and that they called that. Yeah, that's because it's Brady.
Well, on top of that, there was also that sack yesterday. It was Chung and Flowers.
That was the first possession for Indianapolis.
On Andrew Luck.
Luck got crushed.
Which, by the way, and it's a bad rule, but by definition, they put their entire body weight onto Andrew Luck.
By definition, Sony Michel lowered his head, his helmet to deliver a blow, and that wasn't called.
You're right. So there's no consistency in any of it.
And then Aikman's like, well, you know, it doesn't matter if you make contact or not. Oh, doesn't it? Okay, good. It's good to know that I can, that if my hand is within the vicinity of a quarterback's helmet, that's a penalty. That's good. No, of course it makes, if it doesn't make contact, it means nothing. I mean, that's the stupid, I can't believe he said that. Like, that guy played where you could take a quarterback's head off. If anything, I'd be pissed. All right, we'll find out what the sexiest guy in radio has to say, and Scott Zolak will be in as well.
Toucher and Rich.